That's right. Each week I'm joined by our regular correspondent, Professor Ed Blakely from the University of Sydney, to tell us what's going on in the land of the free and the home of the brave, our big brother nation, the United States of America. Now, President-elect Trump has scored himself yet another victory, becoming Time Magazine's Person of the Year, which he's been rather pleased with, although it is a position that's then shared by the likes of Adolf Hitler and, I believe, twice by Mr. Joseph Stalin. He's also had a bit of a rude introduction to the intricate world of foreign relations, which is already causing him to cop a little bit of flack before even taking office. Ed joins me on the line now. Ed, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Thanks, mate. Thank you very much for joining us again this week. Now, I think a lot of us are probably guilty of staying in our own bubbles even after the surprise election results. But what do we think? Are people tired of Trump?
Well, I think they're tired of hearing about his guffawfuls and his, what's the word, when we don't speak the right word, malprops and so on.
Gaffes.
It's not fun. It's not funny anymore. It's a bit tiresome. And he stumbled in the presidency. He stumbled into Man of the Year. Can he stumble through 4 years? I think that's a question.
Yeah, Time Magazine's Person of the Year. Surely surely Donald will love this because he's being recognized and given that attention that he seems to desire more so than anything else.
Well, think about this. This is Time Magazine. There's a thing called the New York Times. He is just chuckling in his beer right now. The Times was against me, and now I am Man of the Year. Wow.
What kind of reactions are we seeing from some other countries to Trump, such as the furor over Trump and his call from the Taiwanese president? What's Trump's reaction there, or what's the reaction to Trump there?
Well, China, of course, has put in a diplomatic rebuff of that, asking for clarification, which means, idiot, you're not supposed to do that. There's a relationship with China. There is no U.S. relationship with Taiwan, and any breach there is very serious for the Taiwanese as well as the U.S. The way the Chinese have covered this up is calling Taiwan a territory like Hong Kong, allowing flights, allowing passage, and so on. But they can crack down that on any day. And I think they will, just to show that they can. But Europe is really skeptical. We saw the election in Austria where the Austrians, thinking that they might go over that cliff, seriously rejected it. And the sounds of Trumpism in Europe have gone very mute.
Actually, speaking just for a moment on the Taiwanese situation, we probably won't get into the whole the China-Taiwan situation, the implications there, but this was a very deliberate move on Taiwan's part that was planned for weeks, and surely it underlines how other countries are going to try and take advantage of the president-elect's total inexperience and seeming uninterest in diplomatic norms.
Well, it's not just diplomatic norms, all norms. With respect to a president. A president's a special character, like a king or a queen. And when you don't act that way, it undermines the office. Richard Nixon didn't resign because he thought he'd be convicted. He resigned because of the damage to the office of the president. And so it's not a plaything. It's a serious activity. The Chinese have staked out a claim now, and I think it'll be very difficult for Trump to deal with them seriously unless he has a very strong Secretary of State.
Tricky Dick, good old Tricky Dick Nixon, another two-time winner of Time Magazine's Person of the Year.
Yes, and both times sheepishly on the part of Time.
Unpacking that that Austrian sort of election that you mentioned there and some of the other reactions we are seeing in Europe, because we saw Trump as something of a global turn to the right, a global turn to the right we saw with Brexit and some of these other elections as well. So looking at this sort of this turn to the right and some of the reaction in Europe, is Europe looking a little bit nervously at some of their own alt-right political parties?
I think so. I think he's actually brought people who are very conscious of the right in their own country out to say, no, we don't want to go there. And I really think that all of Europe is going to be very cautious about dealing with him, because if you deal with him, that's almost saying to the right wing in your country that they're free to take those kinds of actions that Donald Trump has talked about, and almost unfettered hostility to immigrants, hostility to people of other colors, etc. So I don't think Europeans wanted that. They wanted to slow down immigration, but they didn't want to breed hate again. That's what happened in the Second World War. They don't want that kind of stuff to come back.
And just as a final point, Ed, because the inauguration is coming up really, really quickly. Time is passing very, very quickly. President Obama seems to be sticking around to hold things together in spite of how horrible his relationship was with Trump previous to that. He's been very reassuring to a lot of world leaders, you know, with Trump's comments around China and around some of the situation in Europe, being reassuring a great deal of American allies. And he's also offered to sort of stick around for a little bit after Trump actually comes in to sort of get him used to the office. What do you make of this?
Well, I think he's worried that there could be some missteps that would have serious global consequences. He's also worried about his own legacy. He wants things to go smoothly. He wants the transition to go well. He wants real people to be in the Trump administration so he can hand over the government to someone who's trustworthy. I think Pence is playing a role there. So I think the reason you don't see him moving to PAC is that he's wanting to make this a really smooth exit. And by the way, I have not received my inauguration invitation yet.
Well, keep watching the mailbox for that one, Ed. Mate, thank you very much. Do appreciate you joining us again this morning.
I'll go to the mailbox right now.
Excellent. Good, Fled. Catch you next week.
Thanks, mate.